Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Last November, more than two-thirds of Florida voters supported Amendment 4 to the state constitution. Its ballot language read, quote, "This amendment restores the voting rights of Floridians with felony convictions after they complete all terms of their sentence, including parole or probation. The amendment would not apply to those convicted of murder or sexual offenses who would continue to be permanently barred from voting unless the governor and cabinet vote to restore their voting rights on a case-by-case basis." End quote. Amendment 4 was designed to automatically restore the right to vote for most people with prior felony convictions. Before its passage, people with prior felonies never regained the right to vote in Florida unless a state board restored those rights. Under Governor Rick Scott's administration, convicted felons were forced to wait at least 5 years after completing their sentences to even request that a board consider the restoration of their voting and other civil rights. Under this system, very few ex-felons were able to get back their right to vote. But today, Amendment 4 officially takes effect. And while it was written to be self-executing, there's still debate among some Florida officials as to whether the state legislature needs to get involved before ex-felons can begin registering to vote. So joining us for the rest of the hour is one of the driving forces behind Amendment 4. Neil Volz is political director for the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, which spearheaded the effort to get it on the ballot. Neil, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. This has to be an exciting day for you.
It is an incredibly exciting day. Thanks for having me on. Love Gulf Coast Live. This is fun.
I'm so glad you could come in, especially on such a big day. If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, you can give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU with the hashtag of GCL. So did you register to vote today?
You know what? I got up this morning early. I was nervous. I was excited. My wife and I went down to Oasis Restaurant on MLK. Met some friends, family members, fellow returning citizens, those of us who have passed felony convictions. And we ate, we laughed, we reminisced about the campaign and the movement and what got us here. And then we walked up the street and registered to vote. It was wonderful.
What did it feel like walking through the doors?
You know what? It was surreal. And it was the thing that just kept coming through my mind was gratitude. I just kept feeling incredibly grateful for everybody who helped get us to this point, everybody who over the course of our history has fought to protect this sacred process of voting, something that, you know, day by day, week by week, year by year, I really began to get a new appreciation for the voting process and how sacred it is to all of us. And I just want to honor that now that I've had that ability restored and be a positive member in the community.
Did you have any problems when you went to register to vote?
No, they were wonderful. Supervisor Tommy Doyle and his team, on the one hand, it was business as usual, so people could come in and register, especially those of us who might not want too much publicity and light, but I had talked to Tommy in the past, and so he knew we were coming, and they were incredibly gracious to us and just said, hey, welcome, come on in and register to vote.
How many were in your group that were actually registering?
Well, we just had a couple of us who were registering, but we also had folks who are returning citizens who haven't quite finished all portions of their sentence, and so they were there to support.
Oh, okay.
But that we actually, one of the things that was amazing was we went in, and there was a family there, and there was a lady, she's both a mom and a daughter, and they were all crying, and they saw our Let My People Vote shirts, and they had known who we were, and I saw them, and wasn't sure, you know, I didn't want to bring attention to them, but then they came over, and they were just crying, and we all started hugging. I mean, everybody was crying. It was a really, really special moment,
wow.
And so that was somebody who is a returning citizen who lost the ability to vote because of whatever had happened in her life. And she was registering first thing in the morning, and we just kind of fist bumped and we hugged and we all cried. And she's like, look, I'm ready to get involved in my community. I wasn't able to, and now I'm ready.
That had to be pretty gratifying that you just happened to run into somebody else that was there on day one.
Yeah, right? It was incredibly gratifying.
Did you have to take anything special, any special kind of documentation or proof of finishing sentencing and all that stuff?
No. The way the Amendment 4 is written is that if you've completed all portions of your sentence and you qualify under the amendments, that means and you didn't have a murder conviction or a felony sexual offense. And it's just like you're just like anybody else, right? So mm-hmm. I walk in, and this is maybe educational if I could go into it a little
bit.
Like, so if you know the process of registering to vote, the first checkbox is actually says, are you a U.S. citizen? So you check that box. Those of us who have passed past felony convictions, the second box is the one that is important to us. It says, I do not have a felony conviction, or if I do, my rights have been restored. So we check yes.
Okay, right? So that's there.
Yeah. So and then the process has changed, right? It used to be that you go through the Office of Offender Review, and then they say that you have gotten your rights restored. We now have a process in which the Constitution of Florida says that when I've completed my sentence, I have had my rights restored. So you don't need to go through the old process there. And so that is just an incredibly, you know, if you think about what that means, it's a huge expansion of democracy in our state. We're talking about millions of people. It's an incredibly, you know, awe-inspiring moment.
There was some debate, though, after the passage of how it would be implemented and how it would be seen through. Florida's outgoing Secretary of State Ken Dezner said last month that Amendment 4 should not take effect until lawmakers could, quote, provide guidance. But then his replacement, Michael Ertel, recently told the Orlando Sentinel that he doesn't see why voter registration for ex-felons who have finished their sentences can't begin today. From what I understand, there are three categories of people placed on Florida voting rolls. There are the registered voters are either considered active, inactive, or ineligible. So former felons were previously listed as ineligible, but has that suddenly changed in the statewide computer system where they've all just flipped every felon that every former felon that has served their sentence that they are now no longer in that category statewide?
So what you have is a conversation about going from one system to another. And I think it's important to know that's a healthy conversation, that we now need to – how do you verify that somebody has completed all portions of their sentence? And what does it mean to qualify, mm-hmm. right? So those are going to be conversations that we will have going forward. But for me, somebody like myself, I completed all portions of my sentence in 2011. I know that I qualify under Amendment 4, and therefore I can go in, I can register to vote, and I know that I qualify. So it's on me to know that, and then it will be on the state to verify. And that will be a process that we walk out together.
Yeah, because I'm kind of wondering how county election supervisors are going to be made aware of which former felons are able to come in and register.
Right. And so
I'm wondering if there might be some hiccups in certain counties maybe where it may be up to the elected elections officials in given counties?
Well, the one thing we know is that the highest authority in the state, the Constitution, states very clearly in very clear language that if you are formally convicted and you've completed all portions of your sentence, you have a right to vote. And we know that everybody who is sworn to uphold the Constitution and that wants to follow the rule of law, that is what people are doing right now. They know that the Constitution clearly states that individuals like myself and others who know that we meet the criteria of finishing all portions of our sentence, that we come in and register. I do know, like you mentioned, there needs to be a conversation about verification and going from one system to the other.
Because there would have to be communication between the court system and the elections officials.
Right. And it's on the government to figure out that piece of, you know, how do you verify? And, mm-hmm. and there needs to be steps to be taken. But it does not get in the way of those of us returning citizens who now on January 8th clearly have a constitutional right to go register. And so that's what you're seeing today. And that's why really for today we're so focused on just the people, you know, the veteran, Purple Heart veteran up in Sarasota who got to walk in with his family and register to vote after he got a marijuana charge many years ago. You know, so just in county after county after county, you hear these amazing stories.
And
we've
talked earlier about the number of felonies, number of things that are classified as felonies in the state of Florida being a bit higher than average.
That's right.
Our reporter John Davis spoke with Collier County Supervisor of Elections Jennifer Edwards earlier today. She said she hasn't really seen any change in registrations yet. She hasn't received any formal guidance from the state, but she's just registering everyone without even asking about ex-felon status and just sending them along to the state and letting the state sort it out.
Right. And I think that's this idea of what's going on is two things are happening at the same time. From a supervisors of elections perspective, it's business as usual. People come in. I'm not any different than anybody else. I know that I need to be aware of whether I qualify or not and check all the boxes and provide all the information correctly, you know, and then when I do, they process it. What was nice is that in some cases, those of us who have been a little bit more public about the fact that we are returning citizens, that people were willing to celebrate with us. us, especially our friends and our family. I mean, the support has been overwhelming when you think about what the sacred nature of what it is that we're talking about, the ability to vote.
I feel like that support's going to be kind of important too, especially for a lot of returning citizens who have kind of maybe tried to fly under the radar a little bit ever since they've finished with their sentencing and worked everything out. Maybe it's a different emotional journey for some of these folks.
I think that's right. It's also interesting in the fact that I think it might also work the other way, where those of us who are returning citizens are incredibly grateful for family members and friends and members of the community who help pour into us and help us, you know, become catalysts in our own lives, that maybe we can be catalysts for people who have gotten a little disenchanted, people who are already registered, but you know what, they don't vote. That maybe there's this process at play in which we really are all in this together. And that's one of the things that we ran on. We didn't try and make this a label kind of campaign. This was an everybody campaign. People from all walks of life, from every community was impacted by this policy. And so that's how we walked it out. And that's how we're going to walk it out going forward.
We're about to run out of time, but I want to ask you real quick. Now that you've had this day of victory and all of that work has paid off, what's next for you?
You know, we're right now, we've been on a listening tour and we have 15 chapters our organization does all across the state. And we're spending time listening to returning citizens. And what we want to do is come put forth a positive platform of what the returning citizens in this community need and believe in as we move forward. And some of the things that we see already developing are basic stuff that we all know. In Florida, it's very hard to get access to jobs, some certain jobs with a felony conviction because of licensing requirements. Mm-hmm. So at the top of everybody's list is always jobs, access to opportunity. You can't get certain loans and access to certain schools because of felony convictions. We believe that now that our voices have been restored, that we can talk into these issues in a positive way and help increase public safety in our communities and make our communities a better place.
I think that's great. And I wish you all the best luck and congratulations again.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you coming in and talking with us. This is Anil Voles. He's the political director for the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. What an exciting day for you.
Thank you so much.
Our show today was produced by Mike Kinnaire and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.